eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Knowles, come on in. You ain't no sons of guns. Florida State goes up to the somnambulant, the sleepy, the ambient-filled environment of Wake Forest and smacks their head down into their shoulders, Ichabod Crane style. Absolutely fantastic. Decapitated Wake at their house, 41-16. I was just talking to my colleagues, Kevin, Adam, who are joining me here on this Instant Reaction podcast presented by Knowles247.com, the pinnacle of FSU sports coverage. And outside of the big massive games like the LSU, the Clemson, this might be the most satisfying FSU victory of the season, outside of those big monumental moments. And it may be the game that's been a while. This instant reaction might go quick, dude, because FSU just completely dominated the entire game. They won it in the first half. I thought they looked a lot better. I don't really have many lingering qualms to dissect or knock down. It was just a really, really good performance against not a great team, kind of just an average Wake team with a pretty solid defense, but they did 100% what they had to do. It wasn't close. Florida State, Kev went over the numbers. They were 7.7 yards per play. Wake only had 3.9 yards per play. The ACC refs had about 14.5 yards per play. That kind of kept Wake in the game that entire third quarter. But outside of that, man, complete and utter domination, and I am very, very Adam's beautiful children in the background jumping on each other. Fantastic. What's up, boys? I don't know, guys. Your kids are dominating that mattress, Adam. Florida State just absolutely dominated the competition.
Oh, brother. I can't.
Welcome to life. Welcome to noon game life, dude.
Yeah, take it away.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, Trey. I mean, if you look at these stats, thanks to Game on Paper, win probability, I think at its highest, it got to 91% FSU, or that was the lowest it got, Look at all these stats. Purple is bad. Green is good.
Green.
They had one or two explosive plays that kind of gave them this little green category. But outside of that, I mean, you had almost double their yards per play, which is, just means that you're just dominating both aspects of the game. If it wasn't for three straight drives with three 15-yard penalties, I mean, this score would have been even more lopsided. I mean, as it stands now, what is this? A 25-point win. An absolute domination. Go in there against, not a bad conference opponent. Wake Forest is down. They don't have A.T. Perry. They don't have Sam Hartman. But
Donovan Green, yeah.
They're not the team they were the past couple of years, but they're still I think SP Plus had them at 63.
Middle of the pack team that's had your number for the past 3 years had a totally awful home environment, which I think the only reason it had a little bit of juice is because there was a ton of garnet in there. One thing I want to talk to you about, Adam, that I thought was interesting, Florida State was not without injuries itself. No Johnny Wilson, no Destin Hill, no Hykeem Williams. The passing game was a little beat up. So we thought that they might run, lean on the run game a little bit more, which posed an interesting matchup because Wake has a pretty decent run defense. Kev pulled up the numbers. Their yards per drop back were insane. Florida State carved them up in the passing game with a largely depleted receiver core. Jordan Travis, man, awesome game. Outside of that one throw where it honestly should have been an interception where Keon got like pushed down and there was some, I mean, whatever, we can talk about the pass interference stuff if you want. I don't even really care. He had a great game. 22 of 35, 359 yards, three touchdowns, seven rushes for 29 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. So four touchdowns, nearly 400 yards. They were talking about Heisman stuff again. I don't want to really get into that. I don't think it matters, but an absolutely great performance from Jordan on the road. He looked good. He looked in command of the offense, and they got the ball to their playmaker, Keon Coleman, in space, who's just, I don't know what exact planet he's from. I'm not even sure he's in the same galaxy that this, that our planet relies on, that resides in. I don't know, but they look good, dude. They wanted to carve them up through the air, and they largely did. What did you think of the game plan and the execution on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, and you think about it early. I mean, Jordan wasn't very sharp. He missed Keon on one throw that was high on one of those little now alert throws that they like to do off the run game. He had the Keon slip that should have been picked. But outside of that, it started sluggish, and then they just kind of found their footing. Keon started winning one-on-ones. They got the screen game open with some great effort by the offensive line, peeling back on guys who are man coverage against the running backs. You know, obviously the Trey Benson one was huge. I thought he did a nice job of taking those short throws with the running backs. You know, they had a couple arrows to Jaheim Bell. They had a couple arrows to Trey Benson. Just taking what was available. I thought he did a really nice job of that. I'm anxious to go back and kind of watch the game again and just kind of see what Wake was doing, you know, coverage wise, what they were trying to accomplish. I mean, obviously they were trying to, I think that Wake thought early they could one-on-one Keon, then they found out they couldn't. Old senior seat belt. that's some bitch got cut.
Dog, that was a seatbelt for the 1950s because that kid went through the windshield. That was bad.
That seatbelt.
So. That is not NHTSA certified, that seatbelt. No, that needs to go back to the factory.
He needs to be done with that celebration when it comes to Keon. So anyway, it was sluggish early, and then they just kind of – I thought they ran the ball really well. I know the numbers probably aren't gonna suggest that, but I really thought they were efficient running the football today, and it helped just kind of keep them ahead of the chains and allow the passing game to flourish.
Yeah, and to that point, Adam, 28 rushes, 129 yards, two touchdowns, about 4.6 per rush. Yep. Not really inherently explosive, but I'm with you. Against Wake, kind of the only thing they do well as a team is stop the run. I thought it was just enough, and maybe setting up establishing the pass so much on that first drive helped them, and I thought that was good. But no, I thought the running game was pretty effective today. Kev, I thought the play of the offensive line was markedly improved from last week. Obviously, quality of opponent dictates that. But I thought they did well, particularly in pass protection. Jordan had all day to throw. They did great. And Trey Benson, man, give him his due. I thought hard-fought game, punched that touchdown in at the end, and then that great, excellent run after the catch. Just, I thought he had a really, really nice game. What did you think of the offensive line play and then the play of the running backs, Kev?
Yeah, I think that they were patient with the passing game, which opened up the run. And the first drive, you didn't see them really run the ball until they got into the red zone. You can see early on, their game plan was they're going to throw the ball, they're going to open up the box, and they did. And by the time that they then went to the running game, the looks were more advantageous. Trey Benson could get moving downhill faster. They were able to get him out in the screen game where, you know, he's able to get into some space. I think that's really one thing they've been missing a lot this year is being able to successfully run those running back screens. And obviously when they're able to run it, you get Trey Benson in space. And I'm not convinced there's a better running back in the country when he's got 5-10 yards of running room to gain momentum. And I think there's a great game for Trey Benson. I think they were able to kind of open things up for him. I thought the pass opened up the run. And then I think he's getting better every game. I think last game against Duke, you saw he was trying to learn to break his momentum and cut back upfield and be kind of a more, you know, balanced runner. And I think you saw a little bit more of that today. And I think you'll see more of it going forward, but he is improving. I think the offensive line is gelling. They're finding things that work for them. I think it all came together. I think there were a few drives early in the first quarter and in the third quarter where you didn't hit your shots or there was some penalties or something that kind of stalled a drive or two. Like at one point in time, your defense had given you the ball back three times. So FSU had four drives and only 10 points with good field position. And you're like, well, you're not making the most of these opportunities. But eventually, I think we've seen it game after game is like, you can't evaluate this team, this offense on a drive-by-drive basis, because if they don't hit a shot one drive, that doesn't mean they won't hit that shot next drive and score on you. And you can see over the course of a game, over the course of 10, 15 drives, they're going to hit that big play half the time, and then you're going to score 8 touchdowns. You know, like that's just how this offense is going to work. And, you know, when you've got the athletes on the outside that this team does, I don't think you question it.
And, I mean, like you said, dude, you got to evaluate the offense performance for the totality of a four-quarter performance or 3.5 until you put your backups in. Because they're going to get you. You can kind of get this offense out of rhythm for maybe like a quarter at most. But eventually, the stuff that they scheme up, guys were open all game. I thought it was really good game planning, really good play calling. They were open. They missed some shots. Jordan ain't going to miss those shots the entire game. The offensive line isn't going to miss those blocks the entire game. Like, this Florida State offense will get you eventually, and all you got to do is keep giving them possessions. And with the way that this defense is playing, they're getting a lot more possessions than they got in the first like 3 or 4 games of the season. Adam, before we move on to the defensive performance, anybody else you want to touch on? I thought, as the Trey Benson fan self-proclaimed, how would you compare this win to an Elden Ring boss? Let me think on that. That's a good one. I ain't a dork. That's a really good one.
I don't know. Anybody touch on? I thought Byron Turner played pretty well in the second half.
Offensive side.
Okay, I think he played a little bit too hard.
You can talk about Trey Benson. I thought Kyle Morlock had some tough catches. He's a kid that's been kind of growing up.
That throw to Kyle Morlock.
That was a freaking dime. I mean, Jaheim Bell had a quiet day, but had a couple big catches on the arrow routes. Kaziah Holmes continues to get some touches in there in late in games and be kind of a finisher for them. Rodney Hill had a couple burst runs that were solid in the second half. The name of this game really was about JT, Keon, and then just kind of everybody complimenting them. I thought the offensive line played maybe their best game to date. Really didn't allow a lot in the backfield. Really didn't give up a lot of havoc plays. Kept JT pretty clean. And they really got off schedule if they had an execution error. If JT missed a throw or if a flag went on the ground. And that's really the only thing to kind of stop them today.
I agree. This was like beating Morgott in Lindell, the capital of the lands between, because you did what you wanted to do. Very satisfying win, but there's about to be a nice difficulty spike when you go up to the mountaintop of the Giants. You're at the foot of the Erd Tree. You can see the Elden Ring right in front of you, but you still got a little bit to go, and it's the toughest stretch before everybody tunes out and punches their radios in unison at my nerd talk. Kevin, please save me. Save me and talk about the defense. I thought – I don't know how many sacks a tackle for loss they had, but they were relentless.
I believe it was 8 tackles for loss and 5 sacks, something like that. No, 11 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. Just unreal numbers. Yeah, the defense played really well. I felt like a lot of the numbers, the only thing that kept this defensive performance from being elite were kind of those penalties that extended drives and the fact that the offense kind of would have these moments where they were just kind of punting and putting the defense back on the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, you still had to defend 83 plays, which is a good amount of plays. And so... I think that the defense played a really solid game. You have that one run they gave up in the first half, and outside of that, basically nothing in the first half, allowing you to get the big lead. In the second half, it was like just some weird field position situations and a couple penalties that were questionable. And you're looking at a, you know, a defense performance that's numbers didn't look as elite, as dominant as the actual performance was. Wake didn't have a chance. There was nothing going for their offense.
No, and my Elden Ring reference was apparently so egregious that Adam made a face, so I cut his internet connection, or he may have things to do with his family. I don't know. Either way, it's just me and you, Kev, for the remainder of this. I'm with you, dude. I love that the defense was suffocating. The yards, the production does not match the number of points. Mitch Griffiths was 6 for 16, 82 yards. They only had 128 yards running on 49 carries, 2.6 per. I'm sorry. Once again, I cannot wait to get out of this just 3 mile island dump of a conference. It is disgusting every time, dude. Literally roughing unnecessary roughness plays that are fabricated, horizontal slings that are somehow like horse collars. Keon Coleman getting, I don't know, dude, getting like Mark Henry bear hugged in the middle of his route, and he's trying to push him off because he feels like there's some inappropriate touching going on, and the flag gets thrown on him. It was gross. Hedgepeth sucks. They all kind of suck. All the ACC refs suck. It didn't matter. We were good enough where it didn't. But Mike Alford, I know you're watching this game. Get us out, dude. I am over it. I'm over talking about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore because it took a dominant win. This was still a dominant win, but it could have been absolutely dominant. It could have been 100% suffocating. Florida State is playing for bigger things than the honor of this garbage conference that it wants to leave behind in its wake. Ugh. I'm done with it, dude. We need all the points, all the style points that we can get, and I want to just keep on dominating. And these refs, dude, I don't want to talk about them anymore. Schematically, from a defensive standpoint, I think the name of the game when you're defeated, like when you're trying to defend this Wake Slomish offense, which they didn't even really run.
They ran like three times.
Like sparingly. So.
And that's pretty normal. They don't run it all that much. It just, you remember it when they do.
Right. Was it just because Florida State's defensive line was too dominant?
Yeah, I think that played a bit in it. You know, I think they knew that that wasn't going to be something that they'd be able to kind of consistently go towards. I don't think that they trust their offensive line all that much. And the interior pressure, the few times they ran it was just suffocating. So they didn't go to it often. And it's kind of like saying that, you know, Georgia Tech back with Paul Johnson was a triple option offense. Well, they ran the triple option, but that wasn't the only play they ran, right? So that's kind of a misnomer, but you know, it's an interesting play. Yeah, they really didn't have much going for them. I think that they had something kind of in the running game that they would kind of overload one side of the field. And they were, you know, like everybody does, trying to get one of Florida State's corners in the run fits, and that's how they kind of got their big run. Is that, you know, a gap didn't close fast enough and he kind of broke through it. But outside of that, Wake didn't really have much going. And a lot of that just had to be with off FSU's defensive line dominating, FSU's corners being just suffocating throughout the game. There was really nowhere to go with the ball. And even when there was, the quarterback was seeing ghosts to the point where he wasn't wanting to release the ball downfield. I mean, you're seeing this more and more with teams. Teams just don't want to throw against Florida State. They just really don't. There's nothing there. And so, like, you're like, well, why does Florida State give up more running yards than passing yards? Well, essentially because people aren't wanting to throw
the ball. They threw it 16 times, and they ran it 49. It was a concerted effort to try and run the football against Wake. So, yeah, they were more successful at it comparatively. It was 3.9 yards per play.
Wait, you said there were 16 attempts?
From Mitch Griffiths. I don't know if Furio Junta, I don't know how many he had when he came in the fourth quarter, but I don't know if he had any. But yeah, 16 attempts from Mitch Griffiths.
For reference, I'm looking at Wake's stats. The second least they threw the ball this season was 26 times against Vanderbilt, 25 times against Clemson. So you kind of just said you're not going to throw the football.
And dude, they are so disincentivized to throw the ball against this Florida State defense. They were down big. the entire game. If there's one time when you're going to chunk out the running game, no matter what's happening, to try to get in it, it's when you're down that big. And they still didn't throw the ball, man. And I do think it's because some teams maybe see that Florida State's run fits and run defense is sometimes that's the place where you can get them if you can.
Yep.
But I don't know. I think that we've always talked about Florida State over the past couple of years being a very hard team to hit explosive passing plays on. I think it's time to take that a step further. They're one of the best pass defense teams in the country, dude, especially since after that second half of Clemson, when they kind of tightened all the screws up a little bit. The communication in the secondary has been great. The corners have been very, very, very good in pass coverage. And it's just tough, dude. There's no easy throws to be found on this team. So a lot of the opposing offense are saying, screw it, I don't even want to try. And that kneecaps you right from the start, especially in college football in 2023. Think of those Wake offenses in the past, man. They're hitting explosive vertical passing plays or they're drawing pass interference penalties. Clawson said, not even worth it today. We're just going to try to beat them by running. Not going to happen.
So just you bring up a point and I kind of want to look it up. As it stands right now, FSU's 23rd in yards per attempt, 7th in opposing passing rating. When was the Clemson game?
What date?
Yeah, do you know?
Let me look that up here. Clemson versus Florida State. I wonder if the chat's going to find it out. September 23rd.
All right. So if I start after that game, yeah, Florida State's giving up the lowest percentage of passing yards in the country, the second best opposing passer rating, the best yards per attempt in the country since the Clemson game.
Now, a lot of that, you got to think of the level of the quarterbacks that you face, but you know, the injured quarterback, the backup quarterback, okay, whatever. Kyron Jones is the best quarterback on that Virginia Tech team, a team that has been playing.
Garrett Schrader might get drafted.
Garrett looked fine to me. The Wake starting quarterback played this year. Everybody's banged up in week 8. We're banged up on the defensive side of the ball. From the second half of the Clemson game on, you have been like,
the best pass defense
in the entire country in the heart of your conference schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've been one of the best defenses, period, since that day. And like, yeah, you didn't play much of anybody, but I mean, how many teams are playing top end matchups every game? You know, your stretch over these past 4 games would be like the toughest stretch of Michigan's schedule.
That's so true. And that's the thing, too. You see it every single week. Top 10 teams struggling with flotsam and jetsam at home, on the road, Oklahoma versus like UCF. There's all of these, got Washington against what, Arizona State. There are so, this is not, you are dealing with 18 to 22 year old young men, like essentially just almost children. It's so hard to get consistent effort week to week, regardless of environment, as the pressure continues to mount for an undefeated team. Yet you are finding a way to get consistent effort, execution, and level of play. Florida State, I don't know when this national narrative is going to go away. Florida State was put on upset alert by national analysts that I respect their opinion. Stop it. They're one of the best teams in the entire country. And you may not like the way it looks from a national analysis perspective, but they are handily beating every team in front of them. Week after week after week, they are executing and doing the job. They have the resume of the best team in the country, and they have units that are playing like the best in the country. It's time to recognize. I know the Florida State fans do. It's time to recognize rest of the country, in my opinion.
The thing is, almost every great team or every college football playoff team, every, you know, BCS team, whatever you want to make that metric, every like top 5-10 team has one of those games where they just look bad against good against bad competition, right?
They don't have it. Even the all-time great teams, right? Like a 2001 Miami against like Boston College, 2013 right. FSU against Boston College, right?
Well,
right,
FSU there. Struggled against Boston College where they just did it early in the season, right? You're going to see these like Ohio States, these Michigans, they're going to struggle one game and the lucky ones get out of it, right? Penn State got out of it today against a really bad Indiana team. Washington got out of it against Arizona State. It's just like, it feels like FSU is getting penalized for that being early.
And I know
that,
right?
Like, shaped how people saw Florida State. Oh, this is a team that's not actually for real, because that was the second game I saw of them. But then, like, these teams like Washington, no one's going, oh, that Arizona State game was indicative that Washington's not a real football team. You know, like,
they've got memory hold, dude. It's like it never happened. It's like the only game that Washington's ever played was against Oregon, and then whatever, like Portland State, whoever they beat 900-0.
Well, to be fair, no one's staying up to watch Washington play.
Yeah, no offense. No offense to Big Phoenix Energy or whatever. Desmond Howard was screaming like a madman the day when they played on College Game Day. But yeah, dude, it's weird. Just as you have to evaluate the FSU offense in the totality of its body of work over the game, you gotta evaluate an entire season's body of work over the entire season, every single game that they played. It'd be like evaluating the Florida State offense based off their like third drive of this game where they went like 3 and out. And then you hold it over their heads for the entire year. I'm not talking to you guys, the learned, educated, handsome and beautiful subscribers of Knowles 24/7 and people listening to us talk right now. I'm talking to you, rest of the country. Get the picture, pal. FSU is king of the mountain, and we're the best. Rankings come out on Tuesday. Reflect it. Kev, anything else you want to hit on? I thought Cotton Fitzsimmons had another good day. Got a weird short miss out of his system. Not worried about it. Done. Low pressure. Weird angle. Never going to happen again. We love Cotton Fitzsimmons. I'm knocking on wood just in case. Special teams did good. Couple good returns from Deuce Spawn.
He looks dangerous back there, man.
It was funny. We wondered if the confidence from that kick return would translate to like the offensive side of the ball. It didn't, but it is 100% translated to the rest of his kickoffs, dude. He looks like he can break one almost every time, which when you're already playing special teams, according to the advanced analytics, at the best, like the best in the country, you're getting even better week to week. It's good, dude. The numbers have suggested historically that Norvell teams have gotten better as the season goes on. It's looking like it. It's looking like it with this one as well. Anything else you want to touch on before we let the rest of these people get to the rest of their wonderful Saturday afternoons?
No, I would say I'm just going to leave it. I think Renardo Green, Deuce Cypress are two of the best lockdown corners right now. They looked really good.
Seatbelt. They're the seatbelt guys.
They don't need the seatbelt. They don't need to remind people. Jordan Travis, when he's wheeling and dealing, I mean, this is just a fun team to watch. Enjoy it. Even great programs rarely have years where they're just dominating everybody they play. And so enjoy it. Tired of hearing all the complaining. You have a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. That very rarely happens. Enjoy this team. They're back to play another away game against Pitt. I don't think Wake was really that big of a trap risk. Pitt always is. They play really tough defense. I'll be trying to break down kind of what they do later this week. But it's always tough to play a defensive team on the road. But I think this is a team that's kind of fun to watch and kind of special with the athletes they have on the outside. And enjoy it.
I'm with you, man. Cold weather too. Looking ahead to that massive rivalry game in Tallahassee, Florida State has to take care of business. I have no doubt that they're going to come in with a professional mindset, and you guys really should enjoy this, man. I know that, and that's what we get our bread and butter for, is analysis, breaking it down play by play. And that's what we like to do, but it's time to take a step back. You're 8-0. You look fantastic. You just took out a large club and bashed Wake's brains in at home in front of like 16,000 fans or whatever was there at the high school stadium. Enjoy it, dude. It don't happen very often. It really is great times. And a lot of the reason for that is the quality of player that Florida State has right now. TheBattlesIn.com. Guys, I know that you've heard about it from a lot of people, and you're going to hear about it from us again. It is so important. It is so important because the seeds of this team were planted in the offseason when you got guys like Jordan Travis, Jared Verse, Johnny Wilson, Trey Benson, Fabian Lovett retained on your roster while you added them with compliments like Braden Fisk, Keon Coleman. That's how this team was made. It was made in the offseason through the fruits of TB's labor. And guys, we are enjoying the harvest right now of a fantastic season. Unfortunately, with college football, it's a year-to-year build. Just because it happened this year, there is no guarantee that it's going to happen next year, especially with all the talent that we have going to the NFL draft after this year. Guys, get in on the TBE train quick. Ingram and the boys are going to need you this offseason so we can keep this rolling. And I know you do, because I know you feel real good right now. Because I do, and so does Kev. I'm going to have a wonderful just rest of my day. I may go beat Elden Ring for the fourth time because I'm that big of a dork. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be crazy. I could go to Home Depot. But you guys need to go to Knowles247.com and check out all the awesome coverage of this game surrounded by the best team in the country covering what I think is the best college football team in the country. We love you. Thanks for sticking with us. Keep chopping.
Everyone is talking about If.
I'm going to go on a limb here, but I like it. I love it.
It's original and heartfelt.
Ta-da!
And the must-see comedy of the summer that's perfect for the whole family.
This is just so exciting.
If. Rated PG. Now playing in theaters.